Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano. Yeah!
Impeachment, not making it up, called for by Al Green. What? Not the other guy, not the Guam guy. No, Al Green, his cohort. We'll play you that in a second here. What are the articles of impeachment about? He actually said for dastardly deeds. I don't read that in the Constitution. Must be on the back page. Dastardly deeds. There it is, right there. It only took 2 weeks. He doesn't have them fully done. We'll play it in a moment. And we're going to play you Betsy Pringle on this day when we believe today or tomorrow the president is going to drop that executive order starting the dismantling. And this is a tougher one to write, I guess, of the Department of Education, because, you know, he even believes that Congress has to be part of this. But you can gut it from the inside. You know, not the same thing as just getting rid of it. And people say, well, he didn't get rid of it. Well, you can't do it without Congress, but this will really limit what they can do. And it's Becky. Yeah, why did I say Betsy? I don't know. Becky Pringle, who went off here in Philadelphia.
Sorry for putting it up.
Yeah, in a manner that was just unbelievable. Also, Politico now admits, now we have information that they got $8.2 million from USAID. And I only saw this 5 minutes ago. Politico has been very anti-Trump over the years. This is over about a 6-year period. $8.2 million. Why is Politico? Why is that online publication? Why are they getting money from the USAID? Because they were doing whatever they wanted. Now, here's a moment where you don't need to be fearful. I commend President Trump, and I'll tell you what Mike Waltz said, for the vision to try to break things differently in the Middle East. But you know, in your heart of hearts, we're not going to go into Gaza, take over Gaza, make Gaza the Riviera of the Middle East. So vision is one thing. We're not going to put American military on the ground there for snipers and Hamas and the rest of it. So I'm going to play you Mike Waltz, a national security advisor, saying what Trump means by this. And I think he's pretty much on point. It's fine to be bold with this stuff. But you have to realize in the Middle East, it is what it is. And that's not defeatism. You're not seeing any path there to these maniacs because it's so religiously based. This is their lifestyle. This is what turns them on. To attack Jews and to attack Israel. And the idea of putting it's also not America first. Face it. 855-839-1210. Do you agree with me? Or if you want to say, well, Dom, I agree with the first statement, Trump is using this as some kind of breaking the logjam. Yeah. But he's not seriously going to turn Gaza into the Riviera of the Middle East, even though it's on the Mediterranean. In fact, here's a guy I really admire, National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, just a few moments ago, cut 24. Here's what he said.
I mean, you have literally nearly 2 million people living in a place that has thousands and thousands of unexploded ordnance and bombs. It's in some places like a minefield. You have buildings that are collapsing and unsafe. You have no sewage, no running water. It has become completely unlivable with this war that Hamas started on October 7th. And I, as a veteran, can tell you it is despicable and sad that groups like Hamas, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, literally sacrifice the lives and the livelihoods of their own people to achieve some type of ideological gain. But I think what the president is just acknowledging is we've been looking at this over the last weeks and months, and frankly, he's been thinking about it since October 7th, and that war is, you know, everybody's heart breaks for the Palestinian people across the region, and rightly so, but he's not seeing any realistic solutions on how those miles and miles and miles of debris are going to be cleared, how those, you know, essentially unexploded bombs are going to be removed, how these people are physically going to live for the at least a decade, if not longer, it's going to take to do this. So the fact that nobody has a realistic solution, and he puts some very bold, fresh, new ideas out on the table, I don't think should be criticized in any way. I think it's going to bring the entire region to come with their own solutions.
All right, that last part, I agree. My only criticism is we're not going to turn Gaza into the Riviera or Vegas. But Chris Matthews, it is a lot of fun with this. Dan has Chris Matthews on MSNBC, Dan, saying that Trump wants to turn Gaza into Atlantic City.
The idea of bringing an Atlantic City to Gaza is crazy. By the way, go to Atlantic City. Go to Trump Tower, what's left of it down there. Go look at the gambling houses. Look what had happened the last time Trump tried to start a Riviera, a new Riviera, a new Atlantic City. Take a look at the old Atlantic City and where that ended up. It didn't work. It works in Vegas. It didn't work in Atlantic City. And now he wants to create this mecca with Hamas becoming hospitality people as waiters and stuff like that, and chambermaids. Are you crazy? This is a crazy idea.
All right. So again, I'm handling this by saying this is an idea thrown out to shake things up. How are you handling it? 855-839-1210. You don't have to salute and say, well, Trump said it. It's going to happen. You don't have to be in the camp that Chris Matthews and others might be, that he actually means that Hamas are going to be chambermaids and stuff like that, and it's going to be AC or Vegas or the Riviera. I think there's an easy middle ground here. It's to shake things up. That's it. Now you can say, well, why not just try to do that? It's the style. That's the way it's going to go. That's the way you're going to see it. But it is preposterous that this is going to turn out this way. There's a reason why this has not been solved. And it's not just bringing fresh eyes to it. I gave you the reason, what you're dealing with here. Now, could something be done to mitigate that? Arguments, this is kind of a 20-year experiment that Israel did to give them the land. And all they did was arm it and go with Hamas. And that's what they're going to do. What would be the incentive? What do you come up with? Here's what people can't face. I'm not sure if Trump faces it. He's the ultimate pragmatist. I guess he would get this. I get it after being there. You can't give people something like that. They're telling you what they want. They want Jews dead. They want Israel gone. If you're willing to give them that, oh, then we can talk. If you're not willing to give them that, then you have to take them out. That's what it comes down to. I don't know if it's a South Philly situation or what. I accept things like that. I accept them and operate from that premise. They're telling you the truth for years. That's the only thing they want. They're crazed. They're maniacs. They're killers. They're losers. And I don't see how you would be able to rehab that. And I'm certainly not in favor of putting American military in there to be shot at. Look at Joe Biden's peer. Remember that nonsense? It's dangerous. But I think Mike Walsh is getting at Trump is talking about something else here to shake things up, that we can't just go back to what this was after all this. Okay, that's a vision. That's something you can say. How can you go back to the same thing? So 855-839-1210, you get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all you have to do is just push pound 1210 and we'll get you on board. Now, we're hoping that it's either today or tomorrow. And I think there's some hurdles with this because Congress would actually have to take out the Department of Education. But President Trump wants to cripple it so that it can't cause the mischief that it's causing. Who are the people in favor of the Department of Education? Well, Randy Weingarten and Becky Pringle. Becky Pringle is not a potato chip. She's a leader of the NEA. Well,
debatable.
And here's what she did. And I guess it was just this past summer, right? Yeah. Because the Bidens were going to come, but there was a picket line. They held their big convention. I think it was just July or so here in Philadelphia. And here's her speech, if you call it that. This is the leader of the biggest teachers union. The fans of all the stuff. There's a Gallup poll out today. Public education is rated lower than it has been in the history of the country. I don't know how anybody can rank it even decently. They may go to these fancy public schools in some suburban area. But if they're anywhere else, how in the world would you rank what they're doing as anything but they're fraudulent? I mean, they're absolutely fraud. They ought to be prosecuted for fraud. But here's Becky Pringle rallying the troops.
Us keep going. NEA delegates, we can do this work. We must do this work. We get to do this work. We will do this work because our students are depending on us.
Oh, well, hold it for a second here, Dan. I'm not sure if Henry's more of a fan of The Office than you, but anybody that's a fan of The Office, this is Dwight Schrute getting up there using the Mussolini speech because he had nothing else. Salesman of the world, unite! Yeah, exactly.
That's a great
comparison. That is perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. We have to intersperse that and Betsy Pringle. And if you're not on YouTube, you're missing all the action. This woman gone off. And Dan, she has some themes, some words she wants to say, and she just keeps saying them. Even if they don't fit, it's like Dwight got to page 21, it was cut off, and he just continued to do what Mussolini said.
Never-ending fight, I say to you, and you will understand that it is a privilege to fight.
Students are depending on us to win all the things.
All the things.
NEA, we have to win all.
We are warriors! Salesmen of Northeastern Pennsylvania, I ask you once more rise and be worthy of this historical hour.
Our colleagues are depending on us to win all the things. Keep going, NEA, to preserve our democracy. We must win.
No revolution is worth anything unless it can defend itself.
All right, Dan, send it off to the prize people. You deserve the production elements of the year. I'm serious right there.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a Pennsylvania one. I'm serious. Send that off and say it was my brilliant idea. Henry and I cooked it up and you just executed. Feel free to do that. Because remember, it's Pennsylvania. They have to know Dunder Mifflin. And they have to know that this happened here in Philadelphia with Becky Pringle. So these are the people that are behind the Department of Education. They would have you believe that the world is going to end now if the Department of Education has got it or goes away. No, it won't. They just won't have the vehicle to do all their nonsense. And these battles will be fought at the state level and local level where they belong. All right, let me give you the side question. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, I would say a pretty major group, ended as a group on this day. So we're sitting around yesterday, and Dan suggested Lucky Man is the only song I know them for, per se, is Lucky Man. I don't know of anything else that jumps to mind that's
major. From the beginning, which I'm not very familiar with.
Okay.
The Fanfare for the Common Man, which you know.
Fanfare for the Common Man, that's often used by politicians. I didn't know they did that.
Well, I think it's just a... Yeah, it's not...
Okay.
Like, they're not the originals. They're just doing it here, yeah.
So
Aaron Copland was the one that composed
that's
it.
Right.
Yeah.
We're looking for somebody, something, some group that is just plain lucky. Male, female, fictional. Dan, I'm going to go all to the gut with this one. I'm going to say anybody born in this country as an American citizen. Let's think about it. We could have been born in Afghanistan. Or Sweden. That's even worse. Or soccer. We could have been born in a soccer country. Imagine that. Imagine how warped we would be. Imagine talk radio in Sweden. Lars, what do you think? Well, I'll make it even more local. I was lucky to be born in South Philly. I would choose no place else with all of its
No,
nonsense.
You wouldn't choose anywhere else?
Nope, I would
no
not.
No place
where
else?
Where would you choose?
I don't know. Florida?
Nah, I wouldn't choose it. Even with the climate, it's tempting.
Throw up on the beach, you know?
Yeah.
Get some sand in your shoes.
Yeah, that's when you have that from the shore. So, I would say South Philly. But, Dan, what's yours?
How about, first off, I'm going to take off a person who we often play clips of. I don't have anything queued up for her, but she's definitely a lucky woman because I don't know how the hell she ended up where she is, being Joy Reid. I watch her show as a producer,
right.
And I'm like, this isn't good. Like it's
right.
Not only are our opinions way radical, but the product, like, it's just not a good show. I don't know how she got there. I consider her a lucky woman because I don't know how else she got to where she is.
Well, then there's the hairstyles and hair colorings. They change every half hour, it seems like. Okay, that's a good one.
Also, lucky man currently in the news, and Henry's going to like this one. You might not, though. Rob Pelinka, the GM of the Lakers, lucking into Luka Doncic for his first-round pick.
Yeah, he's lucking into
washed-up veteran.
Yeah, we'll see when this guy washes up on a beach like a beach whale there in Malibu. Oh, maybe I wasn't right.
What a BS trade that was.
Oh,
reverse silver.
Is that luck or is that a guy fleecing his friend?
No, it's luck. It's luck. It's you were the one that was first on my favorites list I wanted to call to give away Luka to.
They somehow or another kept it only between two people, it seems like, which is...
Because they were best friends.
So shop him around!
Yeah, but still, it's very hard that...
They screwed him out of $110 million plus by not giving that Supermax. Resign the dude to a Supermax. Shop him around. You can get 5 first-round picks. 3, you know, people that turn into stars. If you waited a couple weeks, like, this was a rush, and Pelinka lucked into getting just the deal of a lifetime here in the NBA.
I don't think it was rushed.
I don't think it was either.
What do you mean it wasn't rushed? Kidd, the coach, wasn't even aware until when he claimed the 11th hour.
Well, he doesn't have to know. It's all in front of him.
Oh, come on, Henry.
I kind of like that the coach doesn't have to know. Who's yours, Henry?
Yeah, so how about I take the luckiest man on the face of the earth off the board? That would be Lou Gehrig after he delivered his speech after his final game.
That would have been a winner,
answer. Yeah, and then another one I'll take off, those Kansas City Chiefs. At the end of the game, they seem to have all the luck. Hopefully not this Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
Not this time.
All right. Also, NFL note, coming up, what will the NFL not include? You will not see it on the Super Bowl field or in this coming up, the big game, so to speak. What will be missing? I'll tell you what that is, but get on board. Somebody, something who is very lucky. Lou Gehrig is an excellent one. I thought Americans might beat. I don't know, Lou Gehrig. I admire that guy so much. Imagine he's saying how lucky he was. Apparently, they now think... He got beaned 7 times. He got beaned point blank sliding in the second base. That may have been the causal element of Lou Gehrig's disease rather than some other
iteration. Chase Utley's in trouble.
Yeah, but sliding in the second base, getting hit really, you know, didn't wear helmets. 855-839-1210. Democrats saying they're taking to the streets. Kerosene Maxine Waters, as she's often known. I led the charge when she came on my show during the L.A. riots. I actually got her on. She said, Those are not stores. They're Korean businesses.
Oh, what?
Yep. Oof. I don't know if we can find that cut. It must be preserved somewhere. In other words, well, there are Koreans there, so we're not counting them. Meanwhile, the Koreans were up on top of their stores, heavily armed, in the middle of it.
Oh, my God.
I had her on the first night of the riots when they really hit. I don't know how I got lucky. I was on midnight then here, and I just kept calling the office, calling. And she picked up, and she's on the air, WWDB. Oh, my God. 855-839-1210. That's how you...
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Get in. All right, it's Dom time here. Good Wednesday, 855-839-1210. You get on board. All right, so the NFL will not include the end racism message in Super Bowl end zone for the first time since 2021. Some of the other things that were around George Floyd's summer or right around then. They will put in one end zone, choose love, and in the other, it takes all of us. So I don't know how people would take the choose love part, either one of them kind of innocuous, but not end racism at the Super Bowl. And I have some great odds here. I'll give you one. This guy, Josh Barton, puts out this great, they're kind of prop bets, not just with the Super Bowl, but with anything. Here's one that he has out. It says, what will Trump say first? Which city will Trump mention first? Will the winning team visit the White House? Yes is minus 3,000. No is plus 900. I might put that down if they let you bet on the Eagles. I still don't think the Eagles are going to visit the White House. I'm telling you, they're not going to do it.
Why? What gives that inclination?
The city is against it. They were against it before. They didn't do it just because of the kneeling. It's because of the ideology around the team. I don't think Jeffrey Lurie's going to go to the White House. What's changed? You guys, you're in that, Henry? You're betting they are?
Time has changed.
Yeah, time has changed. Time heals all wounds. I think people are calming down a little bit on the political rhetoric, if anything, and So we can go back to the White House and not have it be a political statement.
That's a debate in itself.
That's
whether or not we're calming down political
rhetoric. Look at what just Trump's done. When I get out of here at 11 o'clock, I take a look at the news in just 20 minutes. It's like, my God, it's wilder than ever.
Well, the news is one thing. I think people regularly have just stopped watching the news. So they don't get riled up about this stuff.
I think they are. I think your Democrats are just ineffectual. They don't know what to do. But as far as people antagonistic towards Trump, I think it's
still... I don't mean this as a negative, but I think Jeffrey Lurie is a publicist first, and he's concerned about the image of the Eagles and what looks best for his organization. And I think back then he did his formula, and what he came to was it would be best to not be with
Trump.
Based
on what?
Black Lives Matter, the kneeling, the entire situation. Online commenters would have torn down the team and torn down him for appearing by the side of Donald Trump. But now it's a different time, and you see, as I said the other day, even Mark Zuckerberg has turned corner and come to Trump. Oh. And I think it's a populist kind of attitude. It's a PR move to show support of Trump at this point.
Well, Trump is antagonized, too, by talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, by praising them, by acknowledging their win. He hasn't done it with the Eagles.
Well, because the Chiefs have won the last two.
No, I think he did it because they went to the White House or would go to the White House. All right, we got this. It's going to be interesting. Another reason for wanting to see the Eagles win, to see what happens. I think there'll be a long drag-out period, and then everybody will forget about it because it's embarrassing. I don't think things have changed that much. Democrats just are reeling. He's flooding the zone on them, and they don't know where they are and how to fight back in any effective way. They're actually saying they should be like Andrew Cuomo. In the fight back.
I don't think radical progressives hold the weight, the power that they did back then.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I still think they do. I mean, look at who they elected to be the DNC, what those people were saying on stage. David Hogg is the most radical anti-gun guy in the league. The Malcolm Kenyatta guy is radical even for Philadelphia.
But look at the reaction after it. I mean, it wasn't,
I don't think
crazed,
that inspired
like,
anybody, yeah, except the people that are there.
Most people were just kind of like
guffawing
at it.
What I'm saying is their leadership, at least, they're not.
Well, their leadership is.
Well, dumb. I mean, they're not.
Kamala Harris and Joe Biden as president.
Okay. You know? They're not backing down. I don't think they are. I think they're just trying to figure out what's the issue they can possibly do something with. All right, so we'll have that ongoing, 855-839-1210. I get the theory. I mean, the Panthers went there, and they all dressed up like Trump. I just can't imagine him standing there, given Philadelphia, et cetera. Although the mayor is not keen on the sanctuary city, is not saying anything like that, is not going forward with that. There's that. All right, Pam Bondi, I was just been confirmed, was at the White House with President Trump. And then Bondi said that she wants to release the Epstein files. She wants to release the Epstein files, the client list. And I think most people want to see that. Now, my fear, and we'll have them on if it does get released. Alan Dershowitz was the attorney. Dan, do you remember when Dershowitz said on my show, but I kept my pants on the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was talking about massages or something. And he did
Russian
say that.
Russian masseuse or something like that.
Yeah. And he did say, but I kept my pants on the whole time. That was a direct quote. So there's that. So who's holding it up if Pam Bondi wants to release it? I don't know. I know President Trump is somebody who was smart enough to stay wide of this guy, even though he was a guy that he met in New York. He was big time in New York.
I mean, I hate to
Epstein.
Say this is a bad look for Trump if he doesn't let it release.
Well, yeah, it is.
If Bondi's publicly saying, let's release
which him, I'm surprised.
And then Trump's going to be his,
right.
I mean, that would give the impression that Trump is concerned about something in that file.
Exactly. So that would lead us to believe that maybe they are going to release this, and we're wanting to see not Prince Andrew, but Bill Clinton, and how much Bill Clinton is all over this and the reverberations. I'm surprised Bondi said it if Trump hasn't agreed to it. So we'll see if he does. All right, let me take Gary in Newtown. Gary, what do you have today?
I've got somebody that is worth $420 million out of Hollywood. That was 2020 numbers. Signed a $250 million deal with Netflix. Was in 61 movies. Started at SNL in 1990. He's probably the worst actor I've ever watched. Adam Sandler.
He is pretty bad, but I'll tell you this, Dave. Have you seen that film? And I forget the title, but he plays a talent scout for the Sixers going Hustle. To European Hustle. I think he's pretty good in that.
I actually, my wife, it's one of those contentions in her home. My wife will turn something on. I go to a different house.
All right. I agree with you about Sandler, though. I didn't know Sandler. He was that wealthy.
I think he's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Happy Gilmore, all-time great comedy.
Oh, yeah. It's got
Billy
some decent,
Madison, fantastic.
Oh, not Billy Madison. Yeah. It's got some decent moments.
51st Dates, one of my favorite rom-coms of all time.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, God. All right. Hit us with that.
Click, fantastic movie.
You may think they are not lucky.
Uncut Gems.
Or you may think they are. And coming up, Tiffany Justice, one of the co-founders of Moms for Liberty, was inside the Trump roundtable to plot this executive order on gutting, getting rid of, which one is it, the Department of Education. She's next on Talk Radio 1210.
We are the heirs of all who did this work before us. We must keep going. NEA delegates, we can do this work. We must do this work. We get to do this work. We will do this work because our students are depending on us to win.
Salesmen of Northeastern Pennsylvania, I ask you once more, rise and be worthy of this historical hour.
All right, in one corner, imagine this debate. You have Becky Pringle of the NEA, and you have Tiffany Justice, co-founder of Moms for Liberty. What would the odds be on that since it's the big game week? Tiffany Justice, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Hello?
Hey, hi, Tiffany. Welcome back. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you so much. That cut out for a second. I apologize. So I would, if you're a betting person, I'd put your money on me.
Now, wait a minute. Well, I would tell you this. Becky Pringle's one thing. Randy Weingarten, I've had on several times. I don't know if you guys have ever debated or gone back and forth. She's much better and much more difficult and much more of a menace. She actually got results. I don't think Pringle did.
Well, Randy's she's a pretty, she's an interesting lady. I still think I put my money on the money on me, honestly, because the truth is on my side.
Yeah,
here's the bottom line. Parents have the fundamental right to direct the education and upbringing of their children. And for too long, union bosses have led to learning losses. When unions are in charge, kids don't learn. And if they cared about literacy, then we would have higher literacy levels. But the new NAEP scores that just came out, 2024 NAEP scores, showed that only about 30% of eighth graders are reading on grade level. Let me hit you with another statistic. Wisconsin. Only 5% of black students in fourth grade in Wisconsin are reading on grade level. So my question is, what are they doing all day? And why do the unions not care about the fact that our kids are failing in school?
Yeah. In fact, this is the template for what President Trump is going to sign, Tiffany. And I know that you've been at the White House at this one roundtable. What is the hurdle here crafting this executive order versus the others? Is it Congress has to get rid of the Department of Education? So they're trying to come up with a way to dismantle this for now, even if it's still out there on paper.
Yeah, I think that, I've always said, I don't think it's abolish. I think it is dismantle. I think eventually the goal is to get rid of the Department of Education. But right now, I think we need to take incremental steps to eliminate the power, control, and money spent from the federal government to the state. So you're right. I was with the president, some governors around the country, Governor Sanders, Governor Lee, Governor Landry, Governor Youngkin, talking about how the states can take the money in. And let's remember, this isn't like federal money. There isn't some federal funding tree we pluck money from. This is the taxpayers' money. So this is about giving parents back the money that they're sending to Washington and putting it in their hands so they can use it to best meet the needs of their own children. And parents are the best experts for their kids. They know what their kids need. And so that's what the governor said. They said, sir, block grant this money down to us. Let us use it the way we know we need to use it, and then ultimately school choice, giving power to the parents to be able to take their tax money and use it and apply it for whatever school aligns with what they want for their children, including their value system.
Now, Tiffany, you just said something you and I believe in and polling people believe in, yet the needle does not move. What do we do? What can Trump do? You're a real expert on this, to move the needle significantly on the issue of school choice.
Well, I think the results are going to speak for themselves. You have places like Florida, we have universal school choice now. I think it's important for people to know that when we got universal school choice in Florida, what I saw was the marketplace really responded to that choice. So if you're in a state, you don't have school choice, and you're like, well, it'd be great to have choice, but I don't even know where I'd send my kids to school. Just know that once that universal school choice, the money's there, then the schools are going to open. You're going to see people that are going to open schools. But you're going to see kids are doing better in these schools. We're going to have higher literacy rates. That, you know, kids are going to like school, hopefully, and there won't be teaching in the home. I mean, in the classroom, that's antithetical to the teaching in the home. So I think it's just really the results are going to show the way forward.
Well, I would tell you here we have a great Catholic school system. It's vast, et cetera. The problem is we don't have a Ron DeSantis, a Tiffany Justice to make the initial strike. I mean, it's got to be a state by state battle, but.
Well, you say that, but there's something called the Educational Choice for Children Act, the ECCA. It was introduced in the House and then and hopefully in the Senate. And then the president's very excited about signing it into law. And what that'll do is give parents tax credit. So if you have a crummy Democrat governor, they won't matter anymore. And school choice will be the law of the land.
Do you think that has support in the Senate?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. And again, you know, show me the legislator. And if there are legislators listening, I want them to really think about this. How do you defend the failure? You know, really, I want to know and understand that education isn't supposed to be a jobs program. It's not supposed to be feeding the Democrat machine. This is about kids and giving kids what they need. And, you know, the truth is that the majority of parents, Republican and Democrat, want school choice. Democrat parents want to be able to choose where their kids go to school, too. So I think this is an issue where you're going to continue to see people coming together. It shouldn't be partisan. It shouldn't be political. It should be doing what's best for kids.
Tiffany, hats off to you and your group. You have struck a blow here, and we wanted to get an update on the issue of females in female sports, males not invading. The president signed that executive order today. But what I think is going to happen with a lot of these school districts, they're just going to ignore it. In other words, if they say there'll be penalties until they're targeted, they're going to fight this step by step. They're just not going to do it. You actually got a formula there through a judge where if there's a parent in that school district that's a Moms for Liberty person, we have some recourse, but what do you recommend now that Trump has signed this?
Yeah, so President Trump hasn't signed it yet. It's happening at 3 o'clock. I'm actually on my way over there right now. We have about 20 moms from Moms for Liberty and their daughters that'll be joining the president there. And so I think it's really important to recognize he's signing an executive order that bans boys and men from playing in high school and in college sports. There will be a funding loss for schools who end up, you know, trying to go around what the president is saying. We got we have that preliminary injunction, as you said, in the 10th Circuit, but another court actually vacated the entire rule for Title IX. That means that the new Biden regulations, this idea of redefining sex to include gender identity and sexual orientation, that's gone. So they really have they do not have a leg to stand on. We're going to be watching school districts. Moms are going to be reporting back, and what you can expect is lawsuits. So if you're in a school district and you're violating the executive order, you're violating the Title IX regulations, there will be complaints and we will be filing lawsuits.
Good. Where do they go to find out about that and a myriad of other things with Moms for Liberty?
Yeah, so you can go to momsforliberty.org. On the lawsuit specifically, I would go to Southeastern Legal Foundation. They're the firm that represented us, public interest law firm. And then I have some exciting news I wanted to share. I'm actually joining the Heritage Foundation. I'm going to take what we've done. Yeah, I'm going to take what we've done at Moms for Liberty. I'm going to lead a parental rights coalition for all over the country. So expect great things, really lifting up other groups, making sure that we're getting dads in the mix. Dads need, we need you dads. We need men to have their voices heard when it comes to kids and education. And I'm really excited to take the fight to the next level and to help President Trump to keep the momentum up and to accomplish what he wants to across the country.
When does that happen, Tiffany? When is that going to happen?
The Heritage Foundation?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm there now, sir. I have just started with them, so I'm very excited. I'm going to be a visiting fellow there, so I'll still always be supporting my Moms for Liberty moms. I love them so much. But yeah, we're going to take the fight to the next level, and I'm really excited about it. The Heritage Foundation has been a leading conservative policy think tank. They're the outpost for Americans in Washington, and we're going to make sure we bring a lot more moms and dads to Washington, D.C. to support the president.
Absolutely. Well, Tiffany, please, in the loop for you, tell us anything that you need. Whenever you want to publicize something, we want to hear it.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Tiffany. Tiffany Justice here, Dan. Everybody in the world's at the Heritage Foundation. So there you go. That is good news. That's really good stuff. And Moms for Liberty is like a cultural reference now. The guy over at Crossing Broad, his column, he said, when the kids today have to dress up as referees at elementary schools in Kansas City, where's Moms for Liberty when you need them? All right, so 855-839-1210. That's how you get in right now. You heard Tiffany Justice, so he signs it at 3 today. We were a little bit ahead. Jennifer Say is there. That's a woman who founded the clothing company to push back on this. So what is it the Central Bucks School District's going to do? I think they're just going to continue to fight it, just like these idiots over in Springfield want to attack their cops. I'll be paying a visit on Thursday. Special meeting so they can call cops white supremacists again because the cops want the thin blue line. The battle's joined in these suburbs. So are these school districts just going to roll over? No, you're going to have to go school district by school district, threatening them with massive fines to force them to stop this stuff. I differ. People are not rolling over. They are still, that's why Kamala Harris in the last election didn't roll over on this issue. She rolled over on fracking and everything else. The transgender thing, she was afraid to roll over on it. She stuck to it, even though it was a killer. So you're saying, come on, Dom, they're still not. Yes, they are standing on this. You have to beat them again, another doubleheader, and continue beating them and beat. I'm glad they're standing on it. Because the more they stand on it, the more this issue is an entree with reasonable people to say, you can't be a Democrat. Look at what they're standing by. All right, 855-839-1210.
Weingarten accidentally endorsed abolishing the Department of Education. I don't know if you saw that.
She did? When was that, Dan?
Well,
yeah.
On MSNBC, it's kind of taken out of context, but 11 seconds, Dom, take a listen.
States and localities run education. They basically, that's where 90% of the funding for education goes. They already run it. They should run it. The federal government should not run it.
Oh, what?
Oh. Yeah, well, why do they fight for this? They fight for it because it's a one size, it's a vehicle, it's a vessel that has the power to disseminate this and threaten every school district in America all at once with the full force of the federal government. That's why they want it. It doesn't really do anything else except cause trouble, make things
Depending
more difficult.
On us to win all the things.
And just think of these maniac teachers sitting there with this, that this clown is the head of the NEA, at least Randy Weingarten. And you heard Tiffany Justice. She's an infighter. I mean, we've interviewed her several times. I've interviewed her in person in New York. She's provocative. You know, it's hand-to-hand combat. But she's not nuts like Becky Pringle. I mean, my God. We do have her, though, Dan. She's on something we have complaining. She's talking about teachers' salaries are going to go down if we get rid of the Department of Education, I believe. And she makes about $500,000 a year. Yeah, it's cut five. Here's what she accuses Trump of, cut five.
Where's the money going? Who's taking it? Are they trying to take that money that kids get for tax cuts for billionaires? What's going on? That's why we have to see what they're doing. It is illegal to take that money out of children's mouths and give it to billionaires.
Now, are there areas you think that
yes.
could be improved
of
or
course.
Streamlined?
Oh, my God. We, you know, my members, remember, Al Shanker actually didn't want a Department of Education. He wanted it to stay, one of my predecessors, he wanted to stay within health and human services, HEW, because he thought it was more important to have the whole child focused on. So, of course, there are ways to fix the bureaucracy. Of course, there are ways to make things better. I mean, Elizabeth Warren just found millions of dollars of savings that could happen if people work together. But my point is this, and you just said it. States and localities run education. They basically, that's where 90% of the funding for education goes. They already run it. They should run it. The federal government should not run it. But if we want to try and make things better, like having different kinds of pathways for kids in terms of career and tech ed, the states and localities have not done this. I was a teacher, an AP history teacher in a career tech ed school in the 90s. We have to change. We have to make
all
these.
Right. Enough of the always, we have to change. We have to. Now, they like this vehicle. They like the vehicle because it's a force that puts a fear of God into these school districts. Now, we'll see. I'm monitoring Central Bucks School District. Karen Smith, report for duty. What are they going to do with this executive order on, they've already said, no, if you're gender fluid, you can play on the boys' team and the girls' team. It doesn't matter. They're not giving up on this easily. 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Coming to you for more calls. Time to celebrate American Heart Month with Rescue Natural Supplements. For nearly 40 years, Rescue Omega-3s have been providing people with the essentials to fortify heart health, reduce inflammation, and support healthy cholesterol levels. Now's the best time to dive into Rescue's February special. Right now, Rescue's most popular products, their premium omega-3 fish oils, are buy one, get one free exclusively for radio listeners. Just use the listener code OMEGA50 when you place that order. Call them today at 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. You'll speak to a knowledgeable product consultant or use that code OMEGA50 online when you visit res-q.com. The website res-q.com. And don't forget that code OMEGA50 when buying one bottle of Rescue Omega-3s to receive a second bottle free. Again, use the code OMEGA50. Fortify your heart, support a healthier well-being with a Rescue Omega-3. All right, time to your Dano show, and we haven't seen, Matt Rooney's going to be here at 1:30 today. We haven't gotten an update, I'll ask him about it, on Phil Murphy. Murphy, as we said the other day, clearly, I know this is hard to believe, you got to understand these maniacs with money, running for president in 2028. That's what he's doing. So he's taking this outlandish stance of putting out there that he has someone illegal living over his garage. Then he has one of his minions say, well, not really. And then he lets it up in the air to see what Homan's going to do. And Homan's smart. He's not rushing in there with somebody who's marginal on this whole thing to give Murphy. That's when Murphy wants to pounce with the idea of how outrageous these deportations are. And he's the one standing against that. That's what his play is. I know that's down the road, but yeah, that's what he's running for. And using this woman in that manner, it doesn't care. I mean, it's not about helping the woman at all. We made that point. But Matt's here because he was on the panel of the Republican debate last night. And I'm going to ask him because I like Jack Cetarelli out of the four people. But there was a question about the transgender stuff. And Cetarelli kind of deflected into talking about, I'm going to be with the rights of all Jerseyans, something like that. People were trying to out-Trump Trump as far as being with Trump, which in the primary, I think, is exactly where they ought to go. Then when we get into the general election, we'll see where we are at that point in time in Jersey. Can you win the general election doing that? And the Democrats are very, very beatable. By the way, the U.S. Army has broken their recruiting record for January, which is after a Trump win, knowing that Trump's coming. Pete Hegseth there. We had yesterday Sean Parnell, who'll be the Pentagon spokesperson. So they had the most productive December in 15 years. That's all a good sign. It's a good sign of where we're moving forward on that front. I think there's why all of a sudden the most productive December in 15 years, post-Biden, Trump, Hegseth, Sean Parnell, people like that.
All right, so we'll talk with Matt at 1:30 because I'm really following this Republican primary. We got to get the right person, and I think they'll be the next governor. And that will be a huge political story. It will make people feel, even in a place like Jersey, that all the wokeism, all the nonsense is ending and that they have more power. And if affordability is the issue that Democrats say it is, how can any of them win? They're the ones that cause this. Their policies cause it. All right, get in on the side question, too. 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210.